we're winding down the study in Philippians. We're in chapter 4. So open your Bibles to the letter at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4. And I'm so glad that you're here. And we're going to have a great time in this today. We're going to talk about something that we all deal with, that we struggle with, that we want to learn how to overcome, how to take these thoughts captive to Christ, and how He can do a greater work in us. So here's the title today: Winning the Fight for the Joy, for Joy in Your Mind. How do you have joy in your mind? We're talking about unstoppable joy in this series, and we want to win the fight because we all know that as a man thinketh, so is he. So our thought life is so powerful. We think incredible things. We have these constructs, neurons, and we could create pathways. Do you know we create new pathways by the way we think? And if we're super negative, we just create more pathways for negativity to fill us. The opposite is true. When we think positive, noble, true things that the Apostle Paul tells us, we create pathways for that to happen. How many of you want pathways for joy to happen in your mind? We all do. We want it to happen to us. We want it to happen through us. Hey, I've got a quote or a little story here from Martin Luther. He said this: while you can't prevent birds from flying over your head, you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. Okay, I like that. So if you want to have an enduring faith, you got to surrender your mind to Christ every day, every moment, to have joy. So you're like, Lord, how do we do this? So because the sinful birds, if you will, of lies and deceit and negativity, all that, they build nests in our hair, in our brains, and they lodge there, and sometimes they stay. Because you know what it is to be a negative person, or you know some negative people, and like you go, man, what a beautiful day to go. Yeah, it's weather. Man, you look so pretty in that. Well, I look better in red. Well, hey, how are your grandkids? I heard your grandkids. Yeah, they're kind of a pest. They eat all my food. I mean, you know, you're like, man, who wants to hang around that? But when you're joyful, I mean, why do you think your grandkids love you so much, grandparents? Because you're joyful, because you let them do almost anything they want to. Within reason, you could swat them and say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. But, I mean, you know, you take up so much time, and so you're a joy to them. So our mind, our thinking. Hey, how many of you remember this from school? I want you to put your thinking caps on, kids. Kids, I want you to, and what does that mean? AJ, did y'all ever say that, because you're really young, but did they ever say that in your school, put your thinking caps on? Okay, and what did that mean? What does it mean when I say put your thinking caps on? Huh? Boy, did you see Melissa? Melissa said, you better listen. Boy, she said that with authority. It almost sounds like she said it to her kids. Put your thinking cap on. Okay. It means give me your attention. Give me your focus, because I want to do something in you. So, Lord, we want you to have our attention, because here it is with our heads. We can be logical, abstract, deductive analysis. We can have joy to sorrow, on and on. We have so many emotions and so many things that go on in our brain. See this little picture today, the little light bulb? Like, we have illumination, we have light, we have revelation. It's what I pray all the time as I teach and preach God's word. God, give me revelation that I might be able to proclaim it to the people of God. And the church said, and then what really thrills me is when the light goes off in your brain, in your heart, and you live that out. And then Christ says, wait a minute, Catherine would say it this way: Christ is magnified. Did y'all not sing the same song that I just sang? I got a recording of you. I got my phone up. It got so good, I had to go over and get my phone out and say, man, this is good, man. That's in my spirit right now. How many get that song in your spirit right now? Okay, she's going to come back. We're going to do it again, okay? And we want to get it in your spirit. Now, I'm just kidding. You don't have to come back again. All right. Oh, did you hear that? She's so sweet. She goes, we can. Okay. All right. So we got to destroy this negative toxic lies. And we have to get rid of those, and we have to replace it. We have to replace it with what? The truth. So today we're looking at the truth from the Philippians, and there's a truth that Paul, I learned this years ago. Some of you probably had your grandmother, your mom, your dad, your friend quoted this passage to you. Man, it is powerful. So let's don't waste any time. Let's get there. Philippians 4. All right, ready? We're looking at verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. See, he's been doing all this stuff. Now he's going to land a plane here in a couple of weeks. He goes, fix your thoughts on what is what? True and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. So he gives this real simple thing here about having a seeking heart, a mind that's fixed on things above. Not on the earth, but on things above. We get heavenly minded out of that. But here's what it is. When we get argumentative, what do we need to do next time we get argumentative? Somebody help me. So we're very responsive here. I don't just ask rhetorical questions. When you get argumentative, what do? Stop. Take a break. All right. Somebody give me the fleshly answer. What do when you get argumentative?
Get mad.
You get mad, get angry, you rise up. God is not magnified. But we should stop, think, reflect, calm. Holy Spirit, come. Take this. In our own political world we live today, has anybody had to stop, pause, and pray? I was doing it this morning. When I watch newscasts, I had to stop, pray. See, right now my flesh wants to say some other things to you. And so let's break up in small groups right now and let's share our negative thoughts with one another. No. That's why I've limited how much news I watch now, because I don't need a heavy dose of that. I need a heavy dose of what? God's Word. So Paul says, think about these things. So I'm going to try to break them down today. Whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. He says, get rid of these critical, angry thoughts, this negative. Make it a part of your life that Christ is being magnified, that Christ is transforming your mind, that you're giving your mind to Him. So as I look at this, I want you to think about this. Here it is. In some translations, it goes, dwell. It says, fix your mind on these things. Dwell on these things. The ESV says, think about these things. The New King James says, meditate on these things. Do you have a word now? Meditate, reflect, think, dwell, focus on these things. And it's a real short list. There's eight distinctives, eight characteristics that he'll give us. And so we'll get there. So we think, meditate, we do, we knowledge, we learn, we live out, we think about. Here's what he'd say. I want you to think carefully. I want you to think in a righteous manner. I want you to, we are what we think. How many of you think we're a sum of our thoughts? I do. That's our being, it's what we think about. You know, out of our heart, we speak. Out of our mind, so if our mind is captivated, enamored with the presence of Christ, something holy, something good happens. But when it's not, then, man, you know, just the flesh and all this Adamic sin nature comes out and people receive it and you throw up on them and it's not very attractive. So here, let's look at it. I'm going to go through this so many times a day that when you leave here, you're going to go, well, Pastor was real simple. He kept talking about, he kept hammering these words because I pray they'll take root in our hearts. So look at the first one, true. Now, what's true? It's everything that God is. It's everything that's not false. It's everything that's sincere. It's everything that doesn't embellish. Does anybody here embellish? You make things a little bit bigger than they really are. How many of you tell a story, and after a month or two, that story gets phenomenal? And have you ever been called out on a story? Well, it didn't quite happen the way you told it. Well, that's why you remembered it, because, you know, you just kept embellishing it. Hey, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for all these years. I can embellish a story. I purpose to tell a lot of truth and tell true stories, but sometimes you just, and somebody said, well, if it didn't happen, it should have happened. wait a minute, you know. But you embellish it. But you want people to tell you the truth. So here you go. So sincere, embellish. He's a God of truth. I learned this. We think 70,000 thoughts a day. Now, I don't know how they did study on this. Do you, Matt? I'm clueless. 70,000 thoughts a day. That comes to 25.5 million thoughts a year. Jill, that's a lot of thoughts. That's a lot of thinking. And I don't want you to go home and go, you know what? Pastor said 70,000. I think he's not telling the truth. One. I mean, you're going to drive yourself nuts trying to count your thoughts. But we already this morning, you've had lots of thoughts, hadn't you? I mean, it's amazing. And you're thinking right now about, I wish he'd finish or we'd go eat lunch. Or you're thinking this, or you're thinking that. And some of you are thinking about, oh, man, Kat, she's so cute. I like her, Matt. What a sweet couple. Oh, they got great vocals. Oh, they love Jesus. Oh, you know, you're already, I mean, how many of you were already observing them and taking stuff through your brain and your filter? I mean, you know. And then somebody walked in the door and you thought about them. And I was thinking about you women all morning. I was praying for y'all. Then I was thinking about y'all. Then y'all showed up in a little huddle. And, I had all these good thoughts. And then I had more thoughts. And I mean, I don't know how many thoughts I've already had this morning. How many wish you had a thought meter on you? No, there you go. All right. So here, feelings. I want you to hear this. Feelings don't trump the truth. Or feelings, they don't trump the truth of God. It's not, you know, the world asks you, how does this make you feel? How you feeling? Well, there's a place for feelings, but feelings are fickle. Can you write that down? Feelings are fickle. If you base your life not on truth but on feelings, you're always going to miss the mark of being true and noble and holy. All right, let's look at the second one. Be honorable. That means worship. Worthy of respect would be a good word for that. So it describes those who are to be esteemed, to be respected. It's everything that is right. So, Lord, help me to think honorable thoughts. Oh, wow. Well, we could stop right there and already have a message, couldn't we, Miss Lenore? I mean, Lord, I want to have honorable, noble thoughts about the people around me, the people over me, the people in my life, the people in my world. Show me how to do that. Look at the third one. Right. We just walk out the right path. It's having a just life. It's being right under the law. It talks about fairness, justice, righteous words that we can speak over one another. When we speak righteous words over each other, people are edified. People are strengthened. They're built up. They're pushed. They're drawn to you. Oh, they could be repelled by it because they're convicted by the truth that you stand for. All right, look at the fourth one. Here, right. Or I said right. All right, how about pure? That's a big one. Wholesome words. Free from defilement. Free from contamination. Oh, God, help us to have that. Not dirty, not defiled, not corrupted. God, keep me from those kind of words, okay? Look at the next one. Lovely. That's pleasant, enjoyable, pleasing. When I think about lovely words, don't you think about grandparents now? Don't you think about a grandmama? She speaks lovely words over her grandkids. She speaks in a, have you ever noticed what a sweet tone grandparents speak in? And then your kids look at you. I want to know if this has ever happened. If your kids ever look back at you and they look at your kid, they're thinking, this is the woman that raised me. Look at her. She's down the floor on her knees. She's giving them money. She's giving them their favorite treat. She's letting them do anything. They can pull her hair out and she smiles. Same person. And granddaddies, we're worse, aren't we? We're hypocrites. Let's just face it, church. But it's lovely. And that's why, like, the holidays coming up, people always love to, like, I never saw my grandparents except at Christmas, really. Maybe one other time a year. And I like that because I would get to go see them, especially one set. I had one set, I was the heir. I was the golden boy. They only had two of us. We did no wrong. The other side, they had lots. And I was like bag of potato chips and a coat. Wasn't no big deal. And guess where I like to go? I like to go over here with this grandmother that adored me. And she told me, blessed are you. And then she let me play with her false teeth. I'd reach over and I'd go this, and I'd play with them. And I still remember reaching over there. She always had a little cough, and she had those Luddin's cherry cough drops. And I'd reach over and I'd participate. I'd have one, and then five. I go, Grandmama, can I have one of those? She goes, sure, baby, whatever you want. I loved it. She died way too early. No, I'd have been rotten even more than I am had she lived so long. I mean, hey, am I telling the truth? How many got grandparents like that? Yeah, you love them, don't you? Or you loved them, you miss them. Yeah, all right, so lovely. Here, good repute. This word tells about those things, good report that comes home. It's commendable, it's constructive. I'll give you the next one. Think of excellent things. It describes moral goodness, virtue, nobility, self-sacrifice, being a hero. Lord, help us to do things like that. Excellent. And then, I like this, then speak things that are worthy of praise. Worthy of praise is recognition, stand, applaud. We applaud the Lord Jesus. We applaud the body of faith. We encourage one another. We want to, they're worthy of praise. We describe this good life, the goodness of God. And then he goes, now I want you to dwell on these things. Look at number one, dwell on the good. That's what he's saying. Dwell, meditate, reflect, embrace these good things. And they'll give you a better mind. They'll give you a mind of the King. You think right. All right, so look at this. Fill in the next blank. Think right. Fix your thoughts. You gotta think right. See, some of us, our thinking's broken. Anybody ever tell you that? Your thinking's stinking? Your thinking's broken? Hey, you got to fix your thinking. And, you know, and sometimes you can be doing really good, going down a good path, and then you just kind of get off the path, and then your thinking's in the ditch. You're like, I got to take it. And the Apostle Paul, they say, but take those thoughts captive to Christ. Every time I can remember to pray that prayer and ask Jesus to take my thoughts captive, I'm in a place of victory. But every time I don't surrender and yield to Him, I tend to miss it. And I miss out on the peace and the joy that Christ wants to give us. How many of you missed out on the joy of Christ this week, son? Because you didn't think right. You didn't fix your thoughts on Him. You didn't get the right focus. So you think righteously. Let me just give you a passage here. Turn over here with me. We're in Philippians, but turn over to Psalm 19. Can you turn over to Psalm 19 with me? Psalm 19. I'm turning too. I forgot to mark it, so I got to get there. All right, Psalm 19. And it's kind of a reflection here of Philippians 4. It's very very similar, okay? Psalm 19. Look what he says, starting in verse 7. The instructions of the Lord are what? Perfect. They revive the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right. They bring joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear. They give insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They're more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They're a warning to the servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins are lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from what? Deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Isn't that a great passage? That's what he says. Think on these things. Fix your thoughts there. Let God be in control. Here's a passage. Psalm 1:2. Delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, like the trees planted by the riverbank. Or listen to Romans 8:5. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. They let God be in control, and they think different. God, that I want that kind of mind. Or Romans 12, too. That's one of my favorites. You've probably read this many times, maybe memorized it. Those who are, let God transform me into a new person by changing, translation says, transforming the way you think. God, make me and the table different because change the way we think. See, when you think about things differently, you're changed. How many have got an area you need to change your thinking? Yeah. This is a real practical message, isn't it? Like, man, God, this is a good word. This is a word I could use tomorrow. I could use today. I could use next Friday in that meeting I'm in. I could use it with my family during Thanksgiving. Some of you right now are not excited about Thanksgiving because you have to sit with that crazy uncle. You have to be with that cousin. You have to be with that character in your family that they're less than your favorite. Don't raise your hand. There's somebody, usually when you have big families, there's somebody you don't want to be around. It could be your brother. It could be your sister. It could be your mom. It could be your dad. It could be a cousin. I don't know who it is. It could be. Don't tell me who they are. I don't want to know. But just ask God, God, change my thinking this Thanksgiving when I sit down. Lord, help me to see why they're maybe like that. Why they're so bitter. Why they're so cynical. Why they're so angry. Why they're so smart-aleck. God, help me think different. I think the holiday could be better. I tell you one thing, as I get older, I miss the bigger tables we used to have in our family. There are a lot of them that aren't here now. And I miss them. I even miss the sly comments. I definitely miss the love. And I miss the friendship. And I miss the people. So we change our thinking. Attitudes and actions change from the inside out. He gives these ingredients here about, you feel your mind with junk, you know, then you get that. You remember that old term? Hey, Mason, you're a computer guru. G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Remember that? You take garbage enough of the world in your mind, it comes out. It's not very pleasing. It's not very noble. It's not very pure. It's not very pleasant. God says, I got something better for you. What safeguards can you put in your life to help you better filter the content that you consume? See, we all got a filter. How many think we got a filter? I remember the first call we ever got. They go, sir, this would be $65. I said, for what? See, you got a cabin filter. I said, a cabin filter? What the heck? I'm out in the woods. They go, you pilot, sir, it's got a cabin filter. It's dirty. What? He said, it'd be $65. Well, let me go ahead and give you a tip at church. I'm going to save you all some money. You can go to the hardware store, you can go to the parts store and buy it for about $18 or $20.
$5 on Amazon.
That one's not very good. No, okay. But it's a lot cheaper. And you, what you do is you filter out the air so you breathe. And you have filters in your home. You have, how many of you have water filter systems? You know, we all got filters. We filter stuff because we don't want that corroded stuff. Like, I would love for them to get a filter at the table this Christmas. Yeah, I think they need one. And filter out some stuff. But you see where I'm going with this, don't you? We need a filter for our thinking. Because that impure filter, when you don't have one or it's clogged, some things is bad. So I could go through this filter. I just thought the filter was a good word for thinking about fixing our thoughts. How many of you got, you see, when I give lessons that get so practical, somebody like, I don't know anything that you said, but I just wrote down, change the cabin filter in my car. Change the air conditioner heating filter for this winter in my house. I remember one time I was preaching about the oil of the Holy Spirit, and man, I felt a real anointing. It was a bunch of senior kids, and a kid heard that lesson, and he went home. And he said, I couldn't wait to get home. I thought, man, he can't wait to tell his mom and dad about the truth I taught him. No, he only had one thought when I said that. The oil in my car needs changing. He went home and changed the oil, but he forgot to do something. He forgot to put the plug back in it. My fault. Yeah, how's that my fault? I was talking about the Holy Spirit, and you were talking about change the oil in your car. That's a true story. You can't even make up stuff that good. Okay. Listen to what Romans 8:6 says. 8:6, Romans. For the mind is set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. How many of you want life and peace? All of us. Set your mind on Him. Set your mind on things above. Set your minds on Jesus. Man, this is so full of truth that as we fix our minds, like here it is, stress doesn't come from what's on the outside. Stress takes place between our ears. Do you know that? We get stressed out by the things that are out there, and I do, but really it happens in between my ears, in my brain, in my thinking. And we don't want to get so stressed out about it. So we want to pray for one another. We want to cut down on stress. We want to have less. We want to let less garbage in. We live in a social media age. Do you think we've increased the garbage coming in? Yeah. And God wants us to filter it. And have covenant eyes and have holy eyes and have holy thoughts. And I'm not trying to say, hey, get rid of all your devices, because I think there's a ton of great stuff that comes through social media. Connecting with people, praying for people, pictures, fun, sermons. You know, you can hear the greatest preachers in America and it's not here at the table. But you're able to listen to everybody through downloads and music. And I think about all the things that is good through social media and our worship so many times. We have such great worship, don't we? Because of our ability with the internet and because of being able to YouTube and all that's great. But there's nothing like Catherine and Matt. That's better. I like the real thing. But you see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to build a case for God. Help us to work truths into our lives. Help us to have biblical honor. Help us to be dignified, holy, relational, righteous living, pure. When we're pure, so we're clean. We're clean of sin. It's a beautiful creation. It's lovely. It's pleasing. It's admirable. It's observable. It's intentional. It's excellent. It's praiseworthy. But here's this verse. I'm going to give it to you. I've given it to you many times, but it's worth repeating because it's so powerful. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Bring every thought into captivity. Bring it in obedience to Christ. Lord Jesus, if we could do that today, if that would be our action step today, take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Man, we would be a pure, undefiled generation. And people would see Christ in us. As you said again, I'm telling you, you messed me up with that song. I love that song. Christ be magnified. See, God was dealing with you. He was speaking to you, giving you those songs. Because I asked her, I said, Catherine, what songs are we going to do? And she just kind of, she sent me a list of these songs. I really thought we need to do these songs. And after we sang it, I went, man, she's right. That's what we need. I need that to occupy my mind. I need to dwell on what is true, dignified, worthy of reverence, that's pure, that's holy, that's lovely, that's commendable, excellent. I need to meditate on those things. I need to dwell. I need to fix. I need to focus on those things. Is anybody getting a word out of this today? What we got to focus on? Because in the day we live, we get to focus on so much. There's so much bombarding our minds and our hearts. I feel like I've got information overload all the time. I read and see so much every single day. It's unbelievable. You just like, oh, I just want to explode. And that's just a day, and then tomorrow, and then a week, and then a week turns into a month into a year, and a year turns into a decade, and a decade turns into half a century. And am I depressing you already? It just builds up. So you got to filter some of that stuff in there. Filter it with the Spirit of Christ. So, Lord, help us have holy filters. Like, you know when you take pictures? Have you ever had pictures taken and then somebody said, hey, let me have them and I'll send them back to you. And they send them back to you and go, wow, what did you do? They go, I had a filter. I filtered out some stuff. I went, wow, man, that's nice. How many of you think some of these magazines and some of these movie stars and some of these people we see, you think they've had some serious filter? On my phone, for some reason, it'll come up. Hey, so-and-so is 77. So-and-so is 80 now. You go, life's been a little hard. But every once in a while, you see somebody like, that person's 50, that person's 60, that person's 70, that person's 80. I don't think that's true. I think they had a filter. Now, I think they took care of themselves. They might have had good genes, might have had good nutrition, a good diet. All that helps. But at the end of the day, so you know what the word is? Put it on your Christmas list right now. Need a good filter. You take better pictures with better filters. Anyway, I'm being crazy now. Filters. God, help us filter. Help us. I just see this thought, and it just burns in my spirit today. So we fix our thoughts. Here you go. Look at this one on the backside. Live right. Make it your lifestyle. That's what Paul would say. Make this your habit. Make this your discipline. Follow after me hard. Those thoughts, as you focus on the truth, just live in a manner that honors Christ. That you run after Him. You give Him everything that you've got. You avoid the garbage. You don't get distracted by so many other things. Here it is. Set your mind on earthly things. Set your mind, or you don't set them on earthly things. You set them on heavenly things. You set them on things above. That's what Paul would say. It's a matter, I just wrote down there, live right. It's a matter of choice. I have to choose to think right. All right, move down here to point two. Practice what is right. I think this is a practice. You know, musicians, they practice their music. Athletes practice their game, their discipline to be better. You have a medical practice. I've always laughed about when they call it a medical practice. You didn't think it's funny. I think it's funny. They're very bright. They're very disciplined. They're very skilled. We've got a veterinarian back there. We've got nurse practitioners. They're very good. And they practice medicine for animals and for humans. It's awesome. I love that. At the end of the day, though, but they're still practicing sometimes, aren't you? You're like, well, I'm not exactly sure, but I think I know how to get us there. Well, God tells us, you practice what is right. You follow me with all your heart. God, help us to practice. Help us to practice the holy way. And part of that practice is having the right thought process in our mind. So in our consumption of media and entertainment and books and magazines and just life, you have to have that filter. You have to practice right thinking. I think it's a 24/7 proposition, isn't it? Dan, I mean, you don't just go, hey, I'm going to think one good thought in the morning. You got to keep practicing this. So God, give us the ability, give us the passion to want to do that, the heart to want to go after moral goodness, to know that life comes from the heart. It's the center of our being. Lord, we want you to transform and change our hearts. in Christ. So, Lord, we can have that. So, listen, I got a verse, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Out of our heart flows life. So, God, we want to have that. We want to keep watch over our life. We want to keep watch over our words. We want to keep watch over our thought life. So, Lord, this thing you talk about, think about noble and pure and holy and excellent things. Lord, it's hard, and how do we do it? Well, we have to be in His Word. We have to be with the people of God. We have to spend time in the Lord's presence. We have to listen to Him. I mean, we need a church. How many think we need a church? I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, Ken, you drive from Greenville every Sunday morning up here. And apparently, he has said it's worth the drive. So when I'm studying, I'm going, I got to work harder. That man's driving 100 miles to come to our fellowship. I mean, that's a commitment. That's a sacrifice. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. It's just mind-boggling to me. Some of you are like, Pastor, I live 10 minutes from here, and I show up late every week, but I'm, you know, praise you. Well, go back there and talk to Brother Ken. If Brother Ken followed your rule, he'd be here about 1:30 this afternoon. And it'd be time to turn around and go back home. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. That was not a holy thought. All right. Thoughts wandering here. All right. Here it is. If you have zero Bible verses memorized or very little of the Scripture memorized, I got a great verse for you now. Philippians 4:8. Consider it. Maybe this season. Say, you know, this season I'm going to memorize this going into Christmas. This is going to make me a more devout Christian. I'm going to be a more serious follower of Jesus because I'm going to meditate and reflect and dwell on these things, on this verse. Isn't this a great verse? Oh, man, it's like, man, I love this, Pastor. So here it is. We practice what is right. Number three, and look what he tells us. Wait a minute. Hey, haven't I got a slide after that? Haven't I got a little diagram? Oh, but you can't. You can't just do this on your own, can you? I can't do this. I need help. I need the aid of the Holy Spirit. I need the counsel of the godly. I need the Lord. I just can't do it. How many of you find that you just can't do it? I mean, you want to think better thoughts, and you have an intention in your heart. It's going to be better, and it just ain't better. Well, look at the next diagram. The next one. They're looking at me. Mary taking what picture of this one? Mary's always taking pictures. She keeps me honest. She posts these. Same old thinking produces the same old results. What'd they say that is insanity? Keep doing the same old thing
over and
expect different results. Foolishness. So you gotta change your thinking here. Isn't that good? I can't, but Christ can. He never said I could. He always said He would. But I gotta surrender. So Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord, to think holy thoughts, things that are noble, excellent, praiseworthy, and pure. Help my friends to do that. Is anybody getting a word this morning from the Father? Amen. I hope so. Man, I pray for y'all. I struggle. Like, God, what do they need? What do I need? God, help me to teach truth. Because I got to answer for this. One day when I'll get welcomed into the kingdom, I'm going to be held responsible. Did I teach God's word? Did I teach y'all the truth? And then you've got to be responsible. Hey, did I practice the truth? So we want to practice the truth. So we practice what is right. And then look at three. We've got to get there. Then the God of peace. Oh, boy, I like this one. Then the God of peace comes on us. The God of peace promises to be with you. He is here in this place. And He dwells in our hearts by faith in Christ. And I meant to share this. I forgot to. John Piper says, sin is what I do when I'm not enamored with Christ. When Christ is not my focus, I sin. But when I look to Him, I sin less, I become like Him. And then he says, when I do those things, then the peace of Christ comes in and fills the void, fills the heart. Everybody I talk to wants peace. Everybody wants peace. Try to find peace in prescriptions. Try to find it in the bottle. Try to find it in relationships. Try to find it in possessions. Try to find it in money. Try to find it in fame, popularity. What are some things we try to find peace in? Any more?
Maybe food.
Food? Yeah, food. Gee, man, why'd you have to say that one? Daggone. What else? What else do we find peace in? Alcohol? Yeah. Just all kinds of things. And Christ says, no, it's a counterfeit. I'm the real deal, being Jesus. He fills. Wow. So the God of peace comes and fills our hearts. So you know what it is? Here it is. I want you to write down this word. He reframes us. I love that word, reframing. God wants to reframe us in this room with His word, with His spirit, with His thoughts. And so you see, here it is. If you get up in the morning and go, this is one bad, crummy, awful day. Nobody's going to speak to me. You know, man, my car probably won't even crank when I go out there. Got an old car. Don't have nothing new to wear. Horrible. How about if you get up in the morning? Father, thank you for this day. Lord, this is a day that you've made. I will rejoice. Lord, thank you that this morning my feet worked and I walked. Lord, thank you that I had something to eat. Thank you that my house is comfortable. Father, thank you for that warm shower. Father, thank you for those clothes. Thank you for my automobile. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my retirement. God, I praise you. I praise you. And then you see people and you encourage them. What happens? Your mindset has changed. It's positive. It's infectious. Christ is magnified. Let me say, you set me up, girl. That's good. Yeah, Christ is magnified. You see how just how we think changes everything? How many of you get up, though, sometimes you're just kind of grumpy? Yeah, you got a little, grumpy. Yeah. Don't nobody want to hear that? Just going back to bed. Now, you'll get fired. I want you to get up out of the bed. Okay. Y'all, AJ got a new job. Y'all be praying for her, you know? AJ, when you get up tomorrow and you're a little overwhelmed, I want you to go to work, okay? They need you. That nursing home is counting on you to dispense drugs and help. But here's what I want you to dispense. I want you to dispense the peace of Christ, the presence and the power of Jesus when you walk. And I'm going to tell you something, AJ, you got to hear this, because you're smart and you're bright, but you believe some lies. And you are confident in the one that has created you and transformed you, and God has something for you, and you got to walk in that confidence. And all this thinking where you're, you ain't entertaining that. I'm a child of the King. Hey, I'm representing Christ when I walk in here. Girl, this message is for you. For me too. We all need that, don't we? You know, she's questioning herself. We were talking that she's concerned because she's starting a new career. She's the main frontline person. She goes, what if I get it wrong? I ask that question all the time. What if I teach y'all God's word wrong? You don't think I got some eternal consequences? I hope not. Look at that. David's like, I'm checking you, Pastor. All right. That's what I like. You know what I got? I got Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and I got Donna, and now I got Debbie. and they all go, error. If I teach you error, I want you to raise your hand and go, I don't think so. Do you know that's what people are asking right now in the world? Pastor, what do you think about blank? There are a lot of pastors that have lost their thinking. They've lost their mind. They've departed from the truth of God's word. If when I do that, I want y'all to say, Pastor, time out. Did you have a bad pizza last night or what? Get it right. Okay. Hey, I told you the table was fun. And now we have covered dish when we get... No, we don't. I wish we did. I lied to you. Right, reframe. Put truth into practice. All right, practice. Practice what you've learned. Practice what you've received. Practice what you've heard. Practice what you've seen. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Follow my example and the God of... peace promises to be with you. All right, here it is. Be right. That's the gift of peace. Be right with God, and you get the gift of peace. Be right with one another, you get the gift of peace. And then the God of peace will be with you. Look at this. The next blank, double-minded. When you are double-minded, the scripture talks about you are unstable. Listen, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. God doesn't have time for instability. He wants us to be stable witnesses for the King. And look at the last one. Let's have a right focus on Christ. And when we do, He is our peace. Here it is. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. All right, let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for new friends, for the presence of Christ. Now, Lord, transform us with the thoughts of Jesus as we fix our minds on you. Lord, I pray this morning, I forgot too early, I pray for Bob as he's struggling with his health and back issues. God, heal him. Give Amy grace to help him. We pray for Faye to have a complete healing. We pray for Linda's healing and successful surgery in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. Keep us close, Father. Thank you for our church. Amen. Thank you for the table. Thank you for what you're doing. Be honored. Be glorified. Be magnified. In Jesus' name. Amen.